Well, the second Sunday in Advent, last week we talked about hope. This week we light the second candle, which is the candle for peace. And we talk about what God offers us in understanding, which again, the whole world will never truly understand this, but what does it mean to have peace? Now, this could not come at a better time, in my opinion, because we are in the Christmas season. This is the time when I hate going to the mall. I hate going to the mall at any time, but this particularly is a time when I do not like to go to the mall. This is a time when there is more parties and more events and more things going on than any other time of the year. Would you agree with me? Then throw in for students, you know, papers and exams and for professors, marking of exams and all these other things. And Carol's going, yeah, too. Yeah, I mean, it's that time of the year, right? And then you hear all the Christmas carols on the radio and you're going, well, it's not Christmas yet, but hey, everybody wants to have joy, right? Because it's stressful time. So there's supposed to be supposed to be a picture here. A picture of Norma's dog. Yeah, okay. And Sam has this look on his face of total dismay, and it says in the caption, "This is what my support dog looks like when I tell him all my problems." That was a good picture. Unfortunately, it didn't get updated, I guess. Because this is the time we live in, right? This is a time when we're under great stress. This is a time when darkness seems to be encompassing us all around. And yet, it's funny because when we think about peace, even in the Old Testament, we always talk about peace as defined as what it is not. Now, just bear with me for a second. For example, we talk about peace. What do we say? If there's no more war, then there will be peace. If there's no more anxiety, then we will have peace. If there's no more famine or hunger or things that, you know, cause us stress, then we will have peace. If there's no more disunity, then we will have peace or harmony. And yet, sometimes I think because we do this, we concentrate on what it is not. There it is. Oh, cool. Yeah, that was supposed to be the first. See? Now, does that not look, Norma? Can you tell me that does not look like... I just thought that was so cool. I came across that I have to put in here. My emotional support dog after I tell him all my problems. Yeah. Because we do have a lot of problems, right? And it seems like when we get really busy and really stressed, all those problems come to the surface. So why is peace always defined as what it is not? And I think that we do that with the Lord, don't we? We do that with the commandments. We stress so much about what we're not supposed to do rather than what we're supposed to do. How many of you have noticed that in the church? That we often talk about what we're not supposed to do rather than talking about what we're supposed to do. One of the youth pastors when I was growing up always said, if you spend so much time worrying about what you were supposed to do rather than what you're not supposed to do, you wouldn't have time to do the things you're not supposed to do. That makes sense to you? He said, if people spent time in the Word, spent time in prayer, spent time doing their devotion, spent time helping others, spent time in church, they wouldn't have time to party and get in trouble. That's what he would always tell us. That was the number one message of my youth pastor growing up, was if you spent time doing what you're supposed to do, you wouldn't have time to mess with what you're not supposed to be doing. So why is it that we define it this way? Well, I think it's because we want, if you look in the dictionary, that's the definition. If you look in the dictionary, peace is a lack of war. Peace is a stop to something. And yet, it is so much more than that, isn't it? I would call that a minimalistic view of peace. If peace is just, well, I don't have any stress. Or if peace is just, there's no more disunity. Or if peace is, well, I don't have anxiety right now. Or if peace is just the end of war, well, it's so limited. Because what God wants is he wants so much more than just a stop to these things. He wants us to understand the peace that St. Paul says, the peace that passes all human understanding. Because it's a peace that permeates every part of our being, and it's a peace that really puts us in the center of God's peace. His peace, which is a peace that, you know, when people look at when you see martyrs going to their martyrdom and they have a smile on their face, or when you see people who are struggling under great burdens and there's just this peace about them. And you go, how can that be? That's a peace the world does not understand, because it's Jesus in us. I don't think it's a mistake that John the Baptist is calling these people out and he's saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He recognizes that the way to peace is not for everything in our world to stop that's taking away our peace, but the way to peace is to repent and receive the forgiveness of sins and to be the place where God's peace dwells. To be open to the Holy Spirit, to be open to God dwelling in us so that we experience a peace from the inside out rather than from the outside in. Does that make sense? Because I'll tell you something. I have seen people who are going through tremendous problems, tremendous suffering, tremendous illness, tremendous pain. And they have that peace that the world cannot understand because they have a peace within. And what's so exciting about that is that peace comes out. It affects the people around them. And it's amazing. And so when in Matthew 3, he says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Because I baptized you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not even worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That means that you're going to get a gift of the Holy Spirit that we receive in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In our baptism, we receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we're on fire, people know. People know. One of the great evangelists of our time said when he prayed for, before his crusades, he would often say, Lord, set me on fire so people will come and watch me burn. I always thought that was an interesting way of praying. I have never attempted it because with my luck, which I don't have because I don't believe in luck, something can happen. St. Paul in Romans chapter 15 says these wonderful words, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony, peace, with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Because again, when you have that peace within, it comes out. And when you're a group that has the peace of God together and there is harmony or peace, it is a testimony to the world around us, isn't it? It's a testimony. So I thought the last verse there, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so by the power of the Holy Spirit, you might abound in hope. Brothers and sisters, we need to be people of hope. We need to be people of peace, because I'm telling you, right now in this world, we need people who are filled with peace, who are filled with hope, who are filled with the joy of the Lord, because it is not the peace the world gives. It is not the joy the world gives. It's not the hope that the world gives. It's not fleeting, but it's eternal. It's a joy and a hope and a peace that the world will never understand. That's why in Micah chapter 5, we read that at the beginning of this. I thought it was really interesting because it's explaining, Micah is explaining to the people in Bethlehem who will come from there. And he says, and he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. I mean, a lot of times in the Old Testament, it says he will bring peace, but listen to the words of Micah, and I checked this. This is actually the way it is in Hebrew. He shall be their peace. They will have peace within because he lives in them. Isn't that awesome? It's not just something that acts upon us, but it's a gift that's within us. That's why we say the peace of the Lord be with you always. And you respond also with you, because we know that the peace of God dwells in us. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who dwells in us. I want to close with the We heard from Philippians 3 today. If you go on in Philippians 4, these powerful words, rejoice the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand, just as John was saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what is St. Paul telling us? He's saying, just don't go to God with a list of things you want to stop. If you have something you're anxious about, just let him know and let it go. Isn't that what it says? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know why I say it's simple? Because how many of you can complain very long in thanksgiving? How many of you are good at complaining while you're giving thanks? I've seen it done. It wasn't pretty. But when you have a spirit of thankfulness, it's hard to complain. That's why I think it's just simply, okay, you're anxious about something. In your time of prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, tell the Lord. And guess what? He'll take it away. Or even more importantly, he won't just stop it, but he'll give you his peace so that you're flooded with so much peace that these things seem inconsequential. You can deal with them. He will fill you with joy. He will fill you with hope. He will fill you with love. He will fill you with peace, so much so that it will just flow out of you. And that's why the next verses are so important, and this is what I'm going to close with. This is the challenge for us during the season of Advent. I don't know if you had a chance. Norma wrote a good devotion I read last week. There's a bunch of good devotions out there on Advent, and it's all talking about preparing and work, you know, this time of preparing. And that's what it's really preparing us for, is when we celebrate Christmas, to celebrate the joy that is incarnate, the joy of Jesus coming to be in that manger so that he can be the one who dies on the cross, rises again, and can live in us. We can be the people who have that peace that the world will never understand, that surpasses all understanding. Because this is what he says. Peace leads us to focus on what it is to be in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How to live in peace. This is a little sign you every once in a while you see, like a bumper sticker almost. It says, no God, no peace. No God, no peace, right? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Again, what did I start with? I said, if we spend as much time on what we're supposed to do as we spend on what we're not supposed to do, would we have time to do those things? If we did what St. Paul said here, if we just said, okay, I'm anxious about something, Lord, here you go. Thank you for taking care of it. And we concentrated and meditated on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, if we really concentrated on those things, would we have time to complain? Would we have time to get in trouble? Some of us are very talented at it. But really, if we spent time meditating on who Jesus is and what God offers, and then he says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Brothers and sisters, we need this peace, don't we? We need this peace because we are going through times where we kind of feel overwhelmed. We're going through times where the whole world is like it's going crazy. And yet the Lord offers us a relationship so that we can be filled with his peace, his joy, his hope. And we can endure and we can even encourage others by being examples of those who are walking with him because he is our peace.